What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
Welcome to House of Pod, coming to you live, 60 liters below sea level. Yes. Not really sea level, but...
60 liters below sea level.
It's because it's been raining for ever.
For a bit there, yeah. And
the whole lawn is flooded.
Yep, my sidewalk is underneath the water.
Everybody, my sidewalk is underneath water.
Yep. So you got to walk through the side door.
You got to swim to the side door. We got a lot to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And I say that all the time, but it's because we try to cram so much into one episode all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's a problem or a solution.
It could be a problem.
It could be.
But people won't tell us that, so we don't know. We'll just keep chugging along.
That's what we do.
Chugging and chugging. All right, well, we're going to just go ahead. We got some news bits first. We'll be doing our predictions for Double or Nothing later on. And then also we got... our next rounds or qualifiers for our
Tournament of Power. Tournament of Superheroes. Sorry, wrong one.
Tournament of Heroes, and some villains too. Yes, that one. And then we also watched the Justice League Dark Apocalypse War earlier today, and by God, we're going to talk about that one.
Oh, it was brutal.
Oh, it was so brutal. But first, we're going to go live to the KO 420 chapter. God damn it. Basham, you got news.
I got news. Let's start off with the wrestling side of the news, though. Alberto Del Rio has been arrested for sexual assault. He's out on $50,000 bail. I'm not going to go into any more detail. You can look it up if you want. Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable. Asuka, who recently won the title when she won the Money in the Bank, is the only person to now have held the SmackDown, Raw, NXT, and Women's Tag Team Championships, along with winning the Royal Rumble and a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Is there anything that she hasn't? Like, is there something else that she needs to get to, like...
Not as far as I know. Hmm. She's also been in a Women's Elimination Chamber, so... she hasn't won one.
I don't think that's much of like an achievement kind of thing, I suppose.
When it's a gimmick every year, I mean, kind of. It's good for stats, but I don't think really.
Royal Rumble and Money in the Bank, I feel like way more prestige than just like Elimination Chamber match, like for the number one contender spot at like Mania or something like that.
Yeah. But still, it's a fun match.
That's an interesting fact. I like that. Good for her. She definitely deserves it.
Yeah. Someone we will no longer see at WWE, though, is Sting. He's no longer under a Legends contract.
It's okay.
Which is unfortunate because Undertaker has signed a brand new 15-year extension. So he's with the company till 2035.
Honestly, Sting should not have gone over to WWE.
No.
I mean, everything that he was afraid of that they'd do to him actually happened. In such a short amount of time, too.
Uh-huh.
So dumb.
Yeah,
seeing AEW confirmed.
He should have just changed his name and done something else.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Eric Rowan, who is now Eric Redbeard.
Eric Redbeard?
Yep. He put out a new t-shirt that's just mainly focused on his beard. It looks pretty metal. It has like Eric carved into some dude's head with a big beard.
Okay, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
He does have a big red beard.
Yes. And the last very, very sad piece of news is... well, for wrestling anyway, is that Sami Zayn has been stripped of the Intercontinental title because he cannot defend it. And there will be a tournament to decide a new champ.
Now, I don't know if this is a work or not, but if it is a work, then okay. If it's not, then that's kind of garbage because, like, what about Brock? That's always going to be my default. Because it's like he's been gone for huge chunks of time, way longer than Sammy has.
What about Stephanie McMahon, who went for like 9 months defending the title once?
This is why in Tony Khan's meeting when all this stuff went down, he was like, "You guys won't lose your push if you don't want to come," because Sammy's like, "Yeah, I don't want to do this," and now he's like losing. Oh man, losing his
push. Well, we're gonna take your title, pal.
Ooh, oh man, I'm drinking Fountain Coke right now. See, there's gonna be so many burps.
I understand why you do it because you need a title on TV. What I don't understand is why they haven't done it in the past with your Brock Lesnar's or Andrade.
It's like a handful of people that like just haven't for as long as Sammy's been gone. And there's been more people that haven't defended their title longer. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, hopefully, it's all part of some sort of, like, storyline. So they're not just fucking Sammy over.
Oh, yeah. And I hope he gets the first title shot when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe they turn it into a long-time feud.
It'd be like Daniel Bryan will win that tournament, and then Sami Zayn comes back. And it's like a fight between people who never technically lost the belt.
Yes, that'd be pretty awesome.
I still am upset, but I'll take that.
Moving on to movie news, though. Rob Liefeld apparently is very annoyed because he is thus far not attached to Deadpool 3.
I'm very surprised about that.
Yeah, they released a cast list, and I guess he wasn't on it, and he's just like, wow, this is how you're going to tell me?
Rob Liefeld, didn't he do... He was the director, wasn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
They might want to go with some Disney directors.
That's...
You know how Disney likes switching directors, Star Wars, because that works so well.
But they haven't started the movie, though. Disney likes switching when the movie's already in production.
Ah, yeah, that's true. I mean, they could also just announce him later and be like, well, you know, we haven't, you know, finished terms with you yet. But also, we do have a new release date. Well, new release date for an old movie. New Mutants. Tentatively. To be released August 28th.
The saga continues.
Until it's inevitably delayed again.
Will Basham ever get to see New Mutants?
Probably not. They're just going to delay it again and then like cancel it afterwards. Like, you know what? Nah. It's not worth it. This movie's 5 years old. We got to get rid of it.
It's so funny. It looks cool. I saw they had the trailer with, I don't know if it was new or if it's been around for a while, but...
They released a new-ish trailer. It's kind of, like, updated. It has a few new scenes.
Okay.
They showed a lot of Demon Bear in more depth.
Yeah. They looked pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was kind of the leaked images that were released a few weeks back. So I'm assuming they were sent over to kind of, like, incorporate scenes into a trailer.
I'm also...
And then they were just, like, you know, stills were leaked.
I'm also really excited to see Magic on screen.
Yes.
Because then you can just tie her together Ileana. With Colossus.
Yep, attach Deadpool to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Although this is technically still not in the MCU.
I thought it was going to be part of it.
I'm not 100% sure. They haven't actually confirmed it. It might be in like the MCU Dark.
MCU Dark.
Hey, they can do it. They're creating a DC Dark.
Yeah.
But moving to something that is in the MCU... Shang-Chi, they kind of got like a little bit of a plot synopsis leak, so I issue a very short warning here. It's going to be like he was raised in an orphanage run by the Mandarin, and you know he offers him money, power, and to stop chasing him if he fights in a magical tournament for the Ten Rings, because you know the Mandarin is too old to fight in it for himself. And Shang-Chi's special power is he's going to be able to clone himself during a fight. I guess it's different from the comics because he can clone himself at any point, but I guess this is just, like, strictly during fighting. So they're kind of limiting him in a little bit.
So they're giving him a new power just for this movie?
No, they're actually limiting his power. Because in the comics, he can multiply himself.
He can? Like, okay.
Yeah, they're kind of like, okay, you can only do it for fighting, not for any time.
Yeah, you get a weird Dr. Manhattan vibe going on.
A little bit. So yeah, they're going to have him fight in this tournament, though. Known mutants that are in it are going to be Spiral. She's the one, like, during the dragon.
Spiral the dragon?
No, not that one. Spiral. She's got the six arms and the swords.
Six arms and swords?
Yeah, she can make portals. She can make portals and she flies. Omega Red, T-Ray, he's got, like, super strength and voodoo, and we might possibly see Baron Mordo.
Ooh, remind me.
Doctor Strange.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
there's too many wizards. Yeah, too many wizards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, well, I mean, I'd be fighting for these ring, too. We got the pinky ring for the, for the left hand, we have the pinky ring, Ice Blast. The ring finger is a short-range mind control. Middle is electricity multiplication or manipulation and blasts. His pointer finger flame blasts, and his thumb is kind of like white light, which he can use as lasers or just to light place up.
Put on a laser light show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right hand, his pinky is dark light because, you know, you need to have that counter, of course.
Oh.
And it can make areas absolutely dark. Ring finger, disintegration beam.
I was going to say, I know there's some ones that are just, like, fucking wild.
Well, they decided to limit that one with a 20-minute recharge time, so I kind of see it, but that's just, like, still, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have to have win because you have to complete the Captain Planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he has heart, though. I mean, mind control, so kind of. he's got a impact beam on his pointer finger, though, for the right hand. That's equivalent to about 350 pounds of TNT.
Okay.
And a matter rearranger.
That was the one.
Yeah, that's the one for the thumb that's a little OP. It can speed up, slow down, or rearrange molecules, but it can't transmutate them. So he can't just be like, oh, you're gold now. But he can be like, your molecules are going to move so fast, you're disintegrating yourself. Or, you know, setting on fire.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they keep it like that with the movie.
Yeah, that could get into some pretty wild things.
The matter just him using a matter manipulator. Just use it, like, in passing, just to show your power, but then it has, like, a cooldown time, and that's why it doesn't work when you're fighting the main guy. So there you go.
I don't think that one has a limit as far as I know.
So wait, the one that can just disintegrate things has a restriction on it, but the mm-hmm. one that manipulates like matter and atoms doesn't?
Yep.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
That's perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I can like point it to a wall and rearrange the wall so it has a hole in it, but I can't just like, okay, this wall is now cheese.
Yeah, but then you could also awesome. Like point it at a person and rearrange them.
Yes.
Yeah, forever. Like, as many times as you want.
Indeed.
That's... Oh. I did... Or the disintegrate, where I wait 20 minutes.
No, I
am... What if I miss? God damn it.
I am opening up a plastic surgery thing, then.
Yeah, just right?
Like, boom. That would be 850. Plastic
surgery, home renovation.
Oh, yeah.
The applications are just endless. You can create entire subdivisions.
Remember, I can't transmutate, so I need to have, like, all that material there, and then I can turn it into a house.
That's okay. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going to be some business expenses along the way, if you're going to be starting doing this upstart kind of thing.
That's true.
But once people see that...
GoFundMe starting now.
Yeah.
Follow us at House of Pod 1, and for more details.
once people figure out that you can both build, pipe, and throw the electrician aspect into a house in a matter of seconds. I mean, that's when the money starts rolling in, baby.
That's true.
And that's just houses. Mm-hmm. We here at House of Pod can manipulate anything. So hopefully that's the prize. Shang-Chi just like gets that ring, does a hard reset on the MCU because Thanos was so good that they can't top it, so they just have to, like, start over again.
No, they can. Galactus. He's not a bad guy. He just has to eat planets or he'll die.
He's a force of nature. How can we stop a force of nature?
Adam Warlock.
Yeah, I mean, they teased him long enough.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, oh, yeah, he's back. It's that guy from that thing.
Keanu Reeves is Adam Warlock.
No, I want to see him as Ghost Rider.
I want to see him as Mephisto.
He can just be everything.
Yes.
This is...
Just an entire movie of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, please let that be one world in the multiverse. Just everything is Keanu Reeves.
That'd be...
Like, all of Keanu Reeves' characters are interacting with each other.
That would be ridiculous.
That would be a very expensive scene, but worth it.
I'm pretty sure once they have Ghost Rider in, they'll probably have Mephisto there. Because if I recall, I think Mephisto's the one that actually gave Ghost Rider his powers.
Yes.
Not like... I think they just in the Nick Cage movies it was just like the devil.
They mentioned Mephisto once, but yeah, he was playing heavily on the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think Mephisto said he disguises himself as the devil just because people believe it.
Interesting.
Like really, he's just some demon.
And that ruined Spider-Man story arcs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any more news?
I do not.
All right, and it is time for some AEW. NXT recap. I'll just run through real quick. This was the...
Like Keith Leona Jobber.
Yep. the penultimate episode of Dynamite. We got one more on Wednesday, and then we jump over to Double or Nothing on Saturday, which we'll have our predictions for afterwards. But
yes, where I'll be defending my title.
Mm-hmm. So we start out with Cody confronting Lance Archer and Jake Roberts. Jake comes out and cuts a promo about last week and how, pretty sure he said something about how, like, women should stay in the kitchen or something like that. Like, a very misogynistic, like...
Yeah, he's been very anti-woman. It was kind of weird.
It was very, very uncomfortable, but not as uncomfortable as when Cody rolls up in his American Nightmare custom-made truck.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Yeah. He, like, revs it a couple times and then stops because he hits, like, a pile of junk. It's like, oh,
And then, okay. Yeah. Just starts duking it out with Archer until Jake and Archer take off.
Hmm.
So, good opening. After that, we had our first actual match of the night was Best Friends fighting a Jurassic Express, which was nice. It was nice to see Luchasaurus back. This was the first, like, live taping that they've done in a while. They had Pyro and all that stuff, which was exciting. Probably a lot more people in the crowd than what the mandate is, but there's still people there. It was pretty interesting. It was nice to have the old commentary team back too.
Yes, that was a plus.
I mean, I do enjoy, I love Jericho on commentary. Like, I still am all for him and Taz just doing commentary constantly, but yeah, so Best Friends, I mean, it was just like nonstop back and forth. Towards the end of the match, Orange Cassidy went to help when literally from off screen, Rey Fénix just flying sidekicks Orange Cassidy in the dome and sent him flying.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then while that was happening, MJF threw Jungle Boy into the ring post, which gave Best Friends the opportunity to get the victory. And then afterwards, Warlord started beating up Marco Stunt, and Luchasaurus was like, whoa, man. Not that he wasn't actually like, whoa, man, come on, man. But, you know, he got in his face. I would like to see Warlow versus
Luchasaurus, yes.
I feel like Luchasaurus would just kick the shit out of him. Literally with his kicks.
It's going to be one of those matches where Wardlow actually gets beaten on way more than you think he's going to be, and then through heel tactics, he gets the win.
Hmm. Next up, we had Hikaru Shida defeating Chris Stratlander, Britt Baker, and Penelope Ford in a four-way match. This one was pretty good, and there's definitely, there's more storytelling going on because Britt Baker seemed so much more into just wanting to beat up Chris Stratlander.
Yeah.
To, like, the point where, like, at the end of the match, like, she was just outside of the ring and had her in, like, the lockjaw while Shida was in the ring winning the match. So this is why they're going to be facing each other at Double or Nothing. I'm sure it'll be a really good match.
I'm okay with this, yes.
Next up, we had the team of Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega defeating Santana and Ortiz. Really good back and forth. Sammy tried getting involved at one point, but since he got hit by a golf cart last week...
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine he's moving so...
he basically, so like, got in there, tried to do something, and then just got nailed with a twist of fate. Yeah, and then...
It's kind of like when Mankind tried to interfere after his Hell in a Cell match.
Yep. It did not work out.
Yeah, no, he walked down to the ring and got hit in the head with a steel chair.
But yeah, in the end, Matt and Omega pull out the victory, and good for them. I think they lost last week, so hopefully we're not doing this back and forth kind of booking, but it was a good match regardless. What is next? What is love? We had MJF defeating Lee Johnson, who was the residential jobber of AEW, it seems.
Yes. They had a lot of squash matches lately, but like I feel you need to actually show that. Oh, he can wrestle, guys. He's not just a smartass.
Technically, we had two, but this was the only one that actually felt more like a squash match. Because MJF toyed with him for a bit, and then obviously got the victory. Kind of just talking shit about Jungle Boy afterwards because they got a match at Double or Nothing,
as MJF is wont to do.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, Chris Jericho was able to get his hands on Pineapple Pete.
course he was.
And won pretty quickly.
I know. Pineapple Pete had kind of like a little rally there. And
yeah.
It didn't work out so well.
It's okay, because after the match, Jericho challenged the Elite to a Stadium Stampede match,
mm-hmm.
which is them fighting in, I'm assuming, the Jacksonville Jaguars football stadium, it seems like it is.
And I don't see where else it would be.
And where, like, the whole stadium is their
Con Stadium.
Yeah. The Con Stadium. So that is going to be super interesting. I expect somebody to get powerbombed off of the...
off the stadium roof.
Off like one of the risers, like one of the box seats. But then just have it as like a spoof of when Baron Corbin murdered Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh, see, I'm okay. Just like throw him off, but it's not that far of a drop. And then, yeah, after that, they proceeded to destroy Vanguard 1, which was...
That was pretty sad.
It was really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Hardy was beside himself. But that also means that I think we're going to get more Damascus.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Vanguard 2 is supposed to be coming out soon.
I'm okay with this.
Hopefully it's, like, just decked with weaponry.
That would be great.
Like, or, like, have a bigger model.
Machine gun.
Yeah, have a bigger model and it just, like, drops brass knucks. Like, when Matt's having matches, it'll fly over and drop, like, a brass knuck or a kendo stick or something like that.
That'd be great.
That'd be amazing. And the last match of the night was Brody Lee beating Christopher Daniels. This was not a squash match. The first, like, not squash that Brody Lee has had. There was some pretty big back... There's a lot of back and forth between them. Dark Order number 10 gets involved, who I think is the guy that Brody was talking about, or talking to, in, like, a promo, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did you play pro football?
Yes, that guy. I think. But then during the match, there's a big brawl between the Dark Order, and SCU and Colt Cabana breakout. But, in the end, Brody Lee ends up getting the victory and is still holding on to Jon Moxley's championship because he stole it last week. So then Moxley comes out and starts, like, wrecking the entire Dark Order. Brody Lee takes off. Moxley's cutting a promo saying how his tenure at AEW is going to get cut shorter before it starts, blah, blah, blah. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited for that match. I'm kind of worried.
A little bit.
But it should be good nonetheless.
Yeah, it kind of seems like they promised Brody Lee a title run.
And they're like, oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Also, they announced that Mike Tyson will be presenting the TNT Championship.
Mike Tyson's going to be presenting the championship, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting news.
It is, because I really hope that Lance Archer wins, because I would like to see how he acts around Mike Tyson.
I would actually like to see Lance Archer win, too. I think they're going to. Like, it's going to be, almost Cody's going to win, and then Jake the Snake, like, lets the snake out or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was AEW. Basham, how was NXT this week?
It was very NXT.
Yeah, just promos and backstage stuff.
There was a lot of promos, I'm not going to lie. But they were mainly concentrated, like, in the middle parts. Actually, well, it was, you know, we'll see. We opened up with Riddle and Thatcher versus Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel of Imperium. Yes, which, like, during the match, it was building tension, and it just kind of, like, boils over when Riddle monkey flips Barthel into Thatcher, who just kind of, like, leaves. Riddle, he tries very hard to fight both of them off, but ends up eating a European bomb. 1, 2, 3. The Broserweights are defeated. Well, the bro and the interim Zerweight has been defeated.
Interim Zerweight?
Yeah. Yeah, and then Thatcher and Riddle have kind of, like, a little bit of a backstage brawl. Because he just called, I believe he refers to Pete, Matt Riddle as a hot mess.
A hot mess.
Mm-hmm. I hope they continue this and then Pete Dunne comes back to save him and he finally gets his little bro nook.
Yes, the payoff is there.
Mm-hmm. Next up we got Tegan Nox versus Tegan Nox.
Tegan Nox versus Tegan Nox?
Versus Indy Hartwell.
She's been training with Shang Tsung. That's a Mortal Kombat character.
Yes.
Shang Li, just able to clone herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Indy Hartwell, she puts forth a good match, but it's Tegan Nox and making her look good. So she gets a choke slam eventually, cannonball, shiniest wizard, 1-2-3. It was all right. There's a nice slow build with her, but it's kind of moving a little bit too slow because it just feels like they're, okay, let's just give her victories till we can figure out what to do with her now that her and Dakota Kai are over.
Now, here's the real question. Is it truly the shiniest wizard?
Sometimes it is.
Yeah?
Sometimes it is not.
Because I've seen some shiny wizards before.
Oh, there have been some shiny wizards.
But if many a shiny you're claiming to be the shiniest wizard, that's pretty bold.
Mm-hmm. It is. Next up, we have a Ripley promo. She says the title's her. She's coming back for Charlotte, who just, you know, appears on all the shows now because...
Because they don't care about their women's division.
Charlotte Powers. Next up, we have Riddle on a video call with Regal, and he says he's fighting Timothy Thatcher later, who is conveniently in the hallway. He punches Riddle, beats him over the head with the monitor, and he's like, see you later tonight. Weird timing.
Dang.
Very happy.
Perfect timing.
Yes. Next up in the interim cruiserweight championship, which, you know, why didn't Sami Zayn just get one of these? We have Jake Atlas versus Tony Nese. And this is kind of the story of, like, the newcomer Jake Atlas versus Tony Nese, who is, as of now, 0-3.
Oh, no.
A loser. But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Eventually Jake Atlas hits the rainbow DDT for the 1-2-3. Tony Nese, like, even though he's a loser, he hasn't looked bad because he's Tony Nese. Next up we have a undisputed Zoom call, and they all kind of figure out that Roderick Strong's gonna be the one to take out Dexter Lumis. So it seems like Dexter Lumis might be working his way through the undisputed era and possibly taking the title, but like I don't know how that's gonna work out. Maybe they're just building him up really strong and then Adam Cole still wins till they can find someone else to give it to. But they are really building him pretty strong. Him and his nearly Stranger Things-esque 80s music. It sounds very close, you know, except it's not because copyright. Next up we have a Karrion Kross and Scarlett Boudreaux, or Bordeaux, promo. They basically say they're targeting Ciampa, which we saw him get attacked. So we know that. But still, you know, he looked terrifying. Not quite as terrifying as when he was mauling that poor sap last week, but
yeah.
Still looks terrifying. Dakota Kai promo. She says she's stepping out of Tegan Nox's shadow, and she's talking about how her and Raquel have been, you know, buddying up and, you know, putting the thing on notice. Next, we get a DX promo. He says since everyone's stuck in your house, we're going to get the next NXT TakeOver in your house. Oh, no matches shit. Yet, but we'll let you guys know. Then we finally get another match. Hey. Finn Balor versus Cameron Grimes. And Cameron Grimes starts every match by just going for the cave-in immediately. I love it. He employs the strategy of, like, that everyone always asks, like, why don't they just do their finisher at the beginning? Because it always gets countered. Always. He's not weakened enough yet. So there's, you know, a decent amount of moves from Cameron Grimes, actually. I expected this to be mostly Finn Balor, and it's not. But Balor does eventually take control, and he sees, like, Damian Priest just, like, in the crowd, who just kind of came out of nowhere. Priest goes to climb over the railing. Finn Balor hits him with a forearm. Sling blades Grimes, throws him into the ring, and that's when Priest hits his, or whips out his handy little baton, which, if I'm the referee and I see him, like, because he warned him, like, Priest, you have no point being out here, I would keep my eye on him, not Grimes, who has just rolled in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Priest just takes up the handy old baton, hits Finn Balor in the knee. Yeah, it, you know what kind of happens here. Balor takes a awkward-looking cave-in for the 1-2-3. Cameron Grimes now has a win over Finn Balor.
Oh, snap.
Yes. Afterwards, Damian Priest kind of, like, slides in a chair, hits the reckoning on Balor, and then says, like, he's the one that attacked Balor 3 weeks ago.
Dun-dun-dun.
Because, you know, we couldn't figure that out already.
Yeah, right.
Moving on, another interim cruiserweight championship. It's Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Jack Gallagher, who is no longer a gentleman. He's now tatted.
Wait, what? Yes. Oh, yeah, he doesn't even have, like, a big chest tattoo?
Yep.
So weird.
Yeah. But earlier, Swerve kind of insulted Tony Nese, like, you should just quit if you can't even get one victory. So Nese attacked him before the match. So Gallagher was mostly dominant. There was kind of a point where Swerve, you know, did like a little bit of a comeback. But in the end, it was Gallagher who hits it with kind of like a... It kind of looked like a Judas effect or maybe a spinning back fist. But yeah, he just kind of...
taking the Judas effect.
Yep, hit him with the old back spinning arm of some sort.
Or John Cena does the same move, doesn't he?
No, he's got the lightning fist. It's a side fist.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, enough fisting for today. we have Aaliyah versus Caden Carter. Caden Carter just kind of like knocks Aaliyah off the top rope after a moonsault and locks in a standard leg lock for the tap out. Robert Stone, who had kind of like come down to watch it, and Aaliyah was showing off a little bit too much, just kind of like shuns her afterwards. So, you know, that thing's going on.
Okay.
But Aaliyah's still being teased. Next up, we have another Gargano dinner. I'm still not sure how I feel about these. Like, Gargano calls Lee the flavor of the month, and Candace says that Xia Li is getting everything handed to her. So, you know, that just kind of promotes the story of Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano's heel run.
Were they talking about Xia Li or Keith Lee?
Xia Li and Keith Lee. I guess they're just going out after Lee's.
They're going to Lee's... Next week, if I'm going to be real upset if like they're cutting this promo. They're doing the same thing. They have their house talking shit, and they're like, they hear like soft thudding. I'm like, what's that? They come, and here comes Keith Lee, and we switch it to like a cinematic thing, and he just barrel pushes their entire house onto their side.
I'd be okay with that. That would be superb, actually.
And the house goes flying like Adam Cole went flying that one time.
Oh, dear. He flew to like the third row.
Yeah.
I don't think you meant to go that far. Anyway, next up we have main event o'clock because it's Riddle versus Thatcher. And it was a match that NXT was not really used to. It was very like technical grappler, then like a striking match, kind of. It was like very, very back and forth. Like Thatcher has an armbar in and Riddle kind of like maneuvers out. So then Thatcher moves and grabs an ankle lock. And then Riddle maneuvers him into a pin. 1, 2, 3. Riddle wins.
Oh, it was fast.
Yes.
Wow.
It was one of those just like, oh, that, oh, okay. Like so much that the announcers were even mid-sentence.
They're like, oh, okay, we're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, afterwards, Thatcher locks him in a armbar for quite some time, and NXT just fades to black.
Oh, fades to black out of an armbar?
Mm-hmm.
That's some quality wrestling.
Yep. It may be broken. We don't know.
Yeah, oh, man. Well. All right. That was NXT. What did you think of it as a whole?
As a whole, could have been better. Like, it started out with a lot of hype and ended up with just like a, oh, all right, that was interesting. I get that they don't want to make either of them look weak, but
yeah,
that was just one of those like, hey, that came, huh?
Oh, that happened, and now it's done.
Yep, there's been a lot of surprise roll-up pins on people lately. It's just the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment.
Right. Before we move on to our Double or Nothing predictions, do you see that Gulak isn't worth with WWE anymore?
Yeah, I heard something about that, which is really weird since him and Daniel Bryan just had a pretty decent match on SmackDown. Yeah. Like, he was in the title, in the IC title bracket.
Apparently it is expired and is no longer with the company.
Huh. Well, maybe Bryan was trying to make him look good on his way out.
Maybe, I guess. That's very strange, but...
Yeah, they did have a very short, like, very technical match that... Like, I wish they would have given him a little more time. It wasn't your standard, like, high-flying spot fest, but it was very good.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. That's sad. I mean, like everyone else, I'm sure he'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
It's weird that, like... Well, no, I can't even say that, because if he... I mean, it's weird that he would leave now, considering everybody else, like, got let go. But I'm sure he wouldn't want to get locked into a 5-year contract.
Yeah, still doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. So, AEW, Double or Nothing, 2020, May 23rd, mm-hmm. somewhere in Las Vegas, at an undisclosed location.
Do you think it really is, or do you think they're just filming everything in the stadium?
It's probably all filmed in the stadium, but yeah. You got to add that, you know, you gotta give it some of that juice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that juice. So, Bash is our champion, and he wants to defend, which is very bold.
Yes.
But it's okay, because I have a hard time kind of predicting this kind of stuff, because it's been so many years of WWE booking imprinted into my brain that when like stuff that should happen actually happens, I'm like,
this seems sketchy.
Something's up. What's going on?
Where's the turn? Mm-hmm. When do I see Vince laughing?
So let's go ahead and just start with the buy-in. We'll have the Best Friends versus Private Party. The winners are the number one contenders for the AEW Tag Team Championship. Who you got and why?
I don't know. This one's actually strange because the Best Friends are featured a lot more than the Private Party are.
They are.
Which would lead me to think it's them. However, I don't know. Like, shouldn't the Private Party win then because they haven't been given that much exposure? I'm going to have to go with the Private Party there, weighing in at 40 ounces of vodka cranberry.
40 ounces of vodka cranberry. I will be going with the Best Friends.
It's probably the Best Friends,
for honestly. For the reason that they've been featured so much lately. Mm-hmm. Like, Private Party's really good. I feel like, and this is just me kind of rattling with my brain, I feel like that they pushed, Street Profits. I feel like they pushed the Street Profits hard because Private Party was coming about. Mm-hmm. And, like, they almost kind of feel like the same, like, gimmick.
I can see that.
With the partiers sort of, you know, sort of thing. But, yeah, definitely Best Friends. All the way. Up next, Britt Baker versus Chris Stratlander in just a match. It's just a match. I'm personally going to be going for Britt.
I would actually have to agree, Britt, at the same time.
She's been just killing it with promos and just in general, like on all of the shows, she's been really good. So I definitely see her kind of stepping up and probably being the next contender. Ooh, I wonder if Sheeta will win the belt. Although Nyla hasn't really defended it. I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway.
Yeah, that comes later.
So we both got Britt on that one. Next up, MJF versus Jungle Boy.
Oh, I really want it to be Jungle Boy, but it's not going to be, is it?
It could be.
It's not going to be, though. I have to go MJF.
Mm-hmm. I believe I'm going to go with Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
Only because, and my reasoning is Wardlow is clearly going to get involved, which means that Luchasaurus is going to get involved.
Yes, I know, but MJF is a squirrelier, more detestable heel, and he beating very, Jungle Boy, the most natural babyface there is.
He is very just squirrely. That, has to happen. That is very true. All right, and after that, I'm so excited for this match. We have the Stadium Stampede match between the Elite and the Inner Circle.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to be tough.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I want to go about this. I would have to say, with the addition of Matt Hardy, it kind of has to be the Elite. I think I'm going to go with that, the Elite.
All right. I am going to go with Inner Circle with assistance from Fear the Revolt.
No.
FTR.
Interesting.
And that might be slight fantasy booking, but the contracts for all these WWE wrestlers, all of them, because of them being like let go and released like this, they're only 30-day no compete, not 90.
Oh,
so everyone who got released at this point can pretty much work wherever they want. If not now, then at least like within the next like less than a week or so. But
that's gonna be a twist.
Yeah, but Revival got released before everyone else got released.
This is true.
So, that's just me wishful thinking. So, we'll see if it happens. That'd be nice, though.
That would be.
Have FTR kind of, like, with the Inner Circle, and then the feud between them and Young Bucks would happen, and it's like tag team wrestling will once again become what it was in the late 90s.
Yes, I'm probably losing the title here. Next up, we have the Casino Ladder Match.
Yes, now there are two people who are not announced yet, but I think we both said beforehand, we both think that one person who is announced is going to take it.
That person is Darby Allin.
That is true.
The only other person I can honestly see winning this is, like, everyone's down. Orange Cassidy just does a kip-up, rolls in the ring, climbs the ladder with no hands, then reaches up and just picks it up, holds the title, like, halfway up above his head with the like, thumbs up.
I got Darby Allin as well. I was to say, because currently you have Darby, Colt Cabana, Orange Cassidy, Rey Fénix, Scorpio Sky, Kip Sabian, and Frankie Kazarian thrown in there.
I can possibly see Kip Sabian doing the same thing. Like, everyone's down, and he just kind of, at the last minute, climbs up and grabs it. He's a squirrely heel, too.
I said the same thing with Colt, just to kind of give him, like, a sort of push. Doesn't necessarily have to win the title, but, like, just to start getting him going. But he hasn't really done much yet, so I don't think they worked him into the storylines as of yet.
No, I don't think he's going to be, like, close to the title. There might be a few teases, but I don't think he'll grab that, or I don't think he'll win.
So we both got Darby up next. With Mike Tyson presenting the belts, we have Cody versus Lance Archer for the TNT Championship.
And oddly enough, even though Brandy's involved, and usually when the wife is involved, you know who's going to win, I think Lance Archer's just going to beat him down.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so as well. I mean,
with assist from Jake the Snake, probably.
Now, what I'm curious about is this Stadium Stampede match. Is Cody involved in this?
That's a good question.
Because I didn't look up the, like, because, I mean, the Inner Circle is, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 members.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you had the Young Bucks.
Well, the Bucks, Hangman, Page, Kenny Omega, and Hardy?
Yes. No, well, technically Hardy is taking Hangman's spot.
Oh.
Because he's not working due to the, like, pandemic.
Ah, indeed.
So it would be, like, technically the Elite is Cody, Kenny, the Young Bucks, and then Hangman. Hangman's gone. Cody would already have a match, but Matt's taken his place. So is it a 4-on-5? Is it a 4-on-4? Or I don't know how that's going to work exactly. Because no one else on the Elite has a match that night. So we'll see. We'll see. I think Lance is going to take the TNT one for sure. And then Mike Tyson's going to present it, and Lance may take him down. He literally beats up people, like crew members, as he's walking down to the ring.
Nice.
All the time. Like, like knocking down, like, boomstick, or, you know, the boom mic guys or camera dudes, just throwing them out of the way, like kicking people and shit. Like, he's just...
Yeah, he's going to win and then probably have that feel-good moment of Mike Tyson knocking him out. Him or Jake. Like, he'll duck and hit Jake or something like that.
Oh, no. He would die. Jake, I mean, if Jake the Snake Roberts got punched by Mike Tyson, like, outside of wrestling in real life, Jake would definitely just die.
Oh, yeah.
His skull would just, like, it'd be
million
like,
pieces. Yeah. Just so many fractures.
So many fractures. Yeah, and then we got two more matches.
Yes, Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida.
For the Women's World Championship. No DQ, no countouts. I forgot to say that. Because I just, as I was reading, my eyes continued. I was like, oh, okay. So,
I gotta go Nyla Rose on this one. I think she hasn't defended the title that much. They still want to build it up. Whoever takes her down is going to be in for probably a huge push, but I gotta go Nyla.
See, I almost want... I don't know. This is tough. Because the problem is there's not a lot of babyface females aside like Chris Stratlander, who's not... I don't think is not in that title scene, like, ready for it. And, like, the only other person I can see that would go up for the title would be, like, Britt Baker. But you don't really want a heel versus heel dynamic, per se.
I don't know. It might work. See who can out-heal each other.
Just for the for shits and giggles though, I'm gonna go ahead and pick Hikaru Shida to win this match, and I think that will lead into Britt Baker being the next number one contender.
I can see it.
But I can also see Nyla Rose just trouncing.
She is an animal.
Yeah.
The native beast.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Jon Moxley versus Brody Lee for the AEW World Championship.
Yes.
Who
do you have and why?
Man.
This one is tough.
This is real tough.
Because, like, Moxley, he hasn't defended the title that many times enough to where he could lose it, but Brody Lee, this is his first, like, major pay-per-view match. You don't want him losing either.
I feel like Jon is more of a fighting champ, though. Or more of a like, he's better fighting for it than rather having it, I guess.
Probably.
This is rough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say Brody Lee.
Indeed. I'm going to have to go with Jon Moxley to retain.
All right.
Although, it's probably going to be Brody Lee.
I don't know.
There's a lot of hype.
There's a few matches on here where I'm not sure.
Maybe that's where the Revolt come in, just Shatter Machine to Moxley.
That would be interesting. And they're just Shattering Machine everybody?
Yep.
Ooh.
They just have a good old Night of Destruction like Kane and Undertaker used to have, and they just come in, beat people up, and leave.
Yeah, right. That'd be perfect.
That was a good time.
So moving on from the wrestling, we're going back into our tournament of heroes.
And some villains, too.
This quarterfinals, I keep saying that wrong, qualifier. The qualifier this time, two matches we got. Starlight from The Boys versus Cyborg, and Beast Boy versus Pixie. Now, Basham, I don't know a lot about Cyborg. I know about Cyborg, I know about Beast Boy. The other two, I'm kind of at a loss at. Which one do you want to start out with?
Okay, well, I did an entire episode of Pixie, so I'm not going to go through the entire thing. But basically, we got Flight hallucinogenic dust that caused Wolverine to fight a flock of unicorns and saw a bunch of demons, or had a bunch of demons seeing bubbles.
Oh, my.
But she doesn't actually control what they see. She also used it to enhance one of Dazzler's light shows.
Oh, my.
Yes.
So it's like acid? It's just like mushrooms?
Kind of. She also has a little bit of magic, which has taught her teleportation and sleeping spells. She's done a few other ones, but she has the aid of a book which she can read. She can also summon a soul dagger, which just interferes with magical beings. As Beast Boy is not magical, I don't know if that applies here. It has shown some limited effects on humans, like when she stabbed Empath with it, he actually became blind.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
A little bit. So I don't know if she stabs Beast Boy here, if he would just revert to human form or not.
I don't know. I think Beast Boy would take it.
Probably, because he's got, heightened hearing, and he's trained in martial arts by Robin. But that's before he can turn into any animal, past or present, including aliens and occasionally combinations. Certain ones also, like, increase certain aspects of that animal. Like, his gorilla form is stronger than an actual gorilla. His rhinoceros is more durable than an actual rhino. But he also gains those animal sentience. He is highly vulnerable to hypnosis, as it's been shown that just with a single look in past episodes, he's just hypnotized pretty easily.
Yeah.
But he does have a healing factor and a werebeast form that gives him enhanced senses, strength, durability, and boosts his healing factor even more.
That's just his normal, like, form, right?
Kind of, but imagine his normal form. Now imagine that a werewolf.
Oh, okay.
He becomes, like, more feral and everything.
I gotcha. Yeah,
but it's also hard to destroy. I think if she can make him hallucinate enough, she has a chance, but I think otherwise Beast Boy can basically turn into anything to fight her down. Pixie is strong, but we don't know what the Soul Dagger's effect is, so I can't comment as to what it will actually do.
I don't think she's stronger than Beast Boy as a T-Rex.
Probably not. I think she stands a good chance. Again, out of the, 10 times battle, I think she takes it a few times. But overall, I have to go with Beast Boy on this one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Especially after the healing factor.
So, all right. Well, that was a rather decisive one. The randomness of this, sometimes it gets like that. I almost feel like this next one is actually the same way with Starlight and Cyborg.
Not completely, because they both share an interesting power.
I don't know much about Starlight.
That's where I come in. So she's obviously from the boys. She has super strength. She can lift just under 2 tons. She can also, you know, punch through walls and has enhanced durability. She's trained in martial arts and gymnastics. She also has the ability of flight, enhanced hearing, electrical absorption, and bright energy blasts, capable of concussive force and burnment. Burmanent. That's a weird word.
Burmanent.
Yes. It's capable of concussive force and blindness, which is temporary or permanent.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know why all those words got put together.
Burmanent.
Yeah, the electricity absorption is actually the one I'm really interested in, because I'm wondering if she'd be able to do that to such a degree where Cyborg is just like, hey, I'm not powered anymore. What the hell?
Well, I don't think Cyborg is necessarily powered on like electricity. He's powered by the boom tube.
After 2011, yes.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's like a form of electricity or not, or if this is just some kind of weird alien energy
force. Well, I mean, it's obviously an alien energy, but I've never seen an instance of Cyborg being affected by EMPs. That's my only basis on it.
Well, no, she's not an EMP though. She just drains.
No, I know that, but because he like that, at least as I recall, that hasn't happened. Like, if he were to get hit by that,
he can actually emit EMPs.
Yeah, so that wouldn't make any sense, because then he could just knock himself out, right?
Possibly, unless he has some kind of a weird shield, like he's not affected by his own EMP. But he can also lift 15 to 20 tons after his new upgrades, which he's always doing, kind of makes him a little bit dangerous. His suit obviously gives him increased durability, but his skin also has an insane durability. I don't remember what it's called. Some kind of a fancy word for basically metallic enhanced skin.
Okay.
He's also got a healing factor to a certain degree, because, you know.
He can, like, put himself back together.
Yeah, it's a nanobionic regeneration. It also basically gives him immortality. Luckily, this is to KO, not to death.
Yeah.
Like, under most cases, I would say that actually goes in the opponent's favor, because they can just go all out and not worry about killing him, since that's against the rules.
Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, he's got Technopath, and another one is Power Absorption. Now, he has to do it at close proximity, so I don't know if she'd be able to, like, draw energy from farther away, but it has been shown that she drains energy and she gets more powerful as she does it, so I don't know if she can do that to him or not. That's where it's interesting. But he also has the, you know, flight, lasers, sound disruptor, boom tube generation, after 2011 again, and an IQ of around 170.
Oh, okay. Now, let me play you this scenario out, and I want you to tell me if it plays out if this would be accurate. So Cyborg fires off his, like, the, like, white energy beam thing that he does. Mm-hmm. Does she absorb it like Android 19? Like, she just, like, sticks her hands out and is just absorbing the energy as it's coming in?
As far as I know, if it's electricity, she can absorb it. If it's another form of energy, I don't believe so. She hasn't been shown to.
Gotcha. On that alone, I feel like Cyborg might win.
I actually think Cyborg is probably winning, mainly because, well, she does have the electricity force, so does he. They kind of cancel each other out, but she can't really blind Cyborg's cybernetic eye.
Yeah, he can't, yeah.
So no matter what, he's going to be able to scan for her, and his cybernetic system also has enhanced software that can analyze her fight patterns and figure out a weakness.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have to go with Cyborg on this one.
Plus, he's got built-in guns. That's kind of...
Yeah, that's not fair.
LP.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel really bad because I really argued to get Starlight in here, but... Yeah, I think she's got to lose to Cyborg.
The random RNGesus is struck again.
Yes.
With the placement. Well, that'll make an interesting quarterfinal between Cyborg and Beast Boy. Mm-hmm. Friends. Amigos. Mi amigos. Next week will be the end of our qualifiers. We got Cheetah versus Black Panther.
That's going to be a good one. This is without his little concussive thing they gave as new suit, because that's just way too OP.
And then Hellboy versus Spider-Man.
Yeah, that one's going to be really interesting.
I'm the impact of the punch to his stone hand is going to be great.
Yes.
Okay, so moving on from that, we finished up Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's just... We'll dive into spoilers in a second, so be warned. I would say see this movie, 100%.
Oh, yeah. That definitely took a lot of unexpected turns.
Yeah.
Fresh and new.
What I wanted to ask from you, out of... Because you've seen a lot of the DC animated movies with me.
Yes.
Out of all of the ones that you've seen, where would you rank this?
Ooh.
Because there are a few of them that, like... This one is like the end of this new 52 style animation.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm also like counting in like, you know, like Under the Red Hood, the stuff like the previous stuff before the new 52 as well, not just like...
Oh yeah, Under the Red Hood was good. The Killing Joke parts of it were pretty good.
Yeah, if you take out the beginning half that made me uncomfortable, then just had what the comic did, then it would be really good. That would be probably... Well, see, I wouldn't say that was the best, but I only asked that because that I've been pondering it since we've watched it, because I would definitely have this one in the top three. But that's also lumping together the Dark Knight Returns 1 and 2.
Okay. I had to think about that for a second.
Not...
Yeah.
Yeah. And even like Under the Red Hood is really good, or New Frontier. One's a personal favorite. That was that kind of like old 50s style.
Oh, animation. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think I would definitely rank this at like top five DC movies when it comes to, at least when it comes to action and just the shit that's been going.
Although Red Sun was great. I loved Russian Batman.
Red Sun was really good. I also enjoyed Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
That one... Well, that one wasn't always my favorite, but there's so many Batman ones where it's hard for me to...
Ninja Batman.
Because I think... I honestly think like the best one is either Under the Red Hood or Mask of the Phantasm.
Ooh, it's been a while since I've seen Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah, maybe, and that's what I mean. It's like the Batman ones. Like, maybe Return of the Joker is also really good. The Batman Beyond movie.
Oh, yeah.
With Mark Hamill coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's
not funny. It's not funny at all.
But this one, I definitely is up there. Yeah, like I said, we'll dive into some spoilers, but this is the end of the new 52. This kind of leads off like Under the Red or Superman Red Sun was its own standalone thing. This would essentially be
a reset button.
Well, yeah, the movie is a reset button. I'm just trying to think of where like chronologically, like in this new 52, they had, it started with Justice League War. Well, technically it started with Flashpoint Paradox, which is actually a part of this movie. We'll get into that. And then it went Justice League War, Throne of Atlantis. The Batman and Robin. Or not that Batman and Robin.
Do not invoke that movie's
Batman
name.
Batman vs. Robin. That's what it was. Yes. Like Batman versus Robin, the Teen Titans movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like that all kind of encompasses in there. I don't know. You want to just start talking about it?
No, we can turn an entire episode into that.
Huh?
Oh, okay.
No, movie, I meant this. We should definitely do an episode where we try to rank some of these animated ones.
That could be an episode.
I do have I have some that I know you probably haven't seen. They're like ones that aren't on my Voodoo.
Oh, then yes.
Yeah, but they're like, it's like Green Lantern First Flight.
Oh.
Which isn't like, or the green, or like the Green Lantern core ones, which is good, but it's not the best. Like there's some of them that are very, they're very like middle ground.
Yeah, I've always never been a Green Lantern fan. Just weird.
See, I love Green Lantern. That's why I hate that they've been middle grounds. Anyway, so spoilers ahead from here on out.
Yes.
All right. Everyone dies.
Yeah, they just straight up murder a lot of people.
They kill so many people in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit. Like,
just Omega beams left and right.
People getting torn apart by
Parademons.
Parademons, yeah.
The parademons in this are crossed with Doomsday, and then later they're made stronger with Superman's blood. Boy. So they're super parademons.
Holy shit. Like, the first 10 minutes of this movie are them going murdering half the Justice League. Straight up to Apocalypse, and then just random flashbacks of, yeah, like, scenes like Starfire ripped in half, and mm-hmm. like, oh my god, it's fucking, and it's just, holy shit, I could not believe how violent this movie was.
I was okay with it.
I was okay with it too, but it really caught me off guard.
Yeah, it was a little bit weird, like, ah, DC, it takes me back to childhood when, oh my, his face was just ripped off.
Yeah, like, oh man. So yeah, basically what happens is they're continuing from the whole Justice League war. They say that, they talk about how, Doomsday was a part of Apocalypse trying to take out Superman to take over, and there was another plot, I can't remember what it was. I think it was one of the most recent ones, but like, anyway, turns out, surprise, surprise, the character that was created from a mother box is actually still connected to Darkseid.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows exactly what they're doing, and they basically walk into a trap, and like, I mean, everybody dies.
Yeah.
And it cuts over to the future where like the Earth is just totally fucked.
Because everybody died.
The main...
We can't emphasize that enough in here. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies, and then they come back later on as like weird dark side cyborg people.
Yes. Like, that was a little bizarre.
I appreciated it because at least they stuck to the details of what, where, and how they died. Mm-hmm. Like, Starfire got ripped in half, so she had a robot torso.
Yes.
You know, Wonder Woman got her arm ripped off. Like,
she had an arm, a metallic arm.
Yeah. They kept the, everyone else there that was kept alive, they put Superman in like a, like injected him with like liquid kryptonite. Yeah,
they tattooed a kryptonite Superman and on his chest.
And then he brainwashed Batman and gave him the Morbius chair. And I'm like, that's like when you see
Mobius the, chair, Mobius, not Morbius.
I'm saying Morbius. When I saw it in the like in the shadow, I'm like, oh my god, is it the Mobius chair? Mm-hmm. Like the chair that gives you all knowledge. And then they say it later in the movie. I'm like, how is this even a problem?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Because Batman's always Batman.
Yeah, what were your, I don't want to go beat by beat necessarily. I do have a lot of notes on this, but what were some of your favorite parts of the movie?
Trigon was amazing.
Oh yeah. Yes.
Trigon was one of the more entertaining characters.
Yes. There was a constant struggle with Raven and Trigon throughout the whole movie. We can talk about the ending a little bit later. Cause that, the ending was,
oh, just... no, Adrigan.
Oh, yes.
Adrigan, yeah.
Yes, Adrigan the demon, who's like, his lust for battle is gone. He doesn't even rhyme anymore.
Yeah, no, that was nice, because during the movie when they, like, started showing Raven, like, holding her head, I'm like, why don't they just let Trigon face Darkseid? And then they actually did give us that at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
You're one of the new gods. I'm not impressed.
I'm not impressed.
I was just like, damn.
But yeah, so basically, like,
Trigon's throwing beef.
Superman, like, and, Raven are trying to get the remainder of the Justice League. And I guess they're working with the Suicide Squad, it seems, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because as
seeing Harley bash heads was great.
Yeah, I just like how Raven was like, "Who? Why would Amanda Waller let you be in charge of the Suicide Squad?" She's like, "It's easy. She died."
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so you had Batman and Luthor were essentially working for Darkseid. Luthor, mm-hmm. obviously. He only works for himself. There was that good line, though, that when Raven was essentially going to murder Luthor, was like, no one will mourn you.
Yeah, that was pretty cold. I liked it.
So, yeah, the plan that's going on is they're trying to stop, well, they're trying to stop Darkseid, but they're going on two fronts, and they're trying to keep all of the Parademons away from Apocalypse.
Yes, because they're very good at murdering, as we saw in the beginning.
And throughout the whole movie.
Yes.
We
were reminded.
Yeah.
It's kind of like in John Wick when they constantly remind you how dangerous John Wick is.
Yeah, he's really good at headshots. Parademon's really good at ripping up your favorite superheroes.
Yes.
So, while they're fighting on Earth, they have to like stop the generator, which turned out to be Barry Allen. So there is no actual generator. So that plan was all kiboshed. Everyone else on Earth is dying. Like, Shazam's getting murdered again. He lost a leg during the first fight.
And got, like, a lightning peg leg. It was pretty cool.
You see, like, all of the rest of the Bat family get picked off one by one. Mm-hmm. Except Damian, who was Damian's a big plot point in this one. And Nightwing, who I thought died.
Yeah, he was thrown in the Lazarus pit. He died.
Yeah, he technically died. He was definitely stabbed through the chest. I keep going more flashbacks to the team getting murdered. Like, it's just every so often as it comes up. It's like, and here's more flashbacks. Oh, meanwhile, in China, the Bat family is getting murdered, along with Shazam and other heroes.
Yes.
Like, there was a lot of murder. At one point, Darkseid himself took out the remainder of the OA, or the Green Lantern Corps, and finishing it off by opening a boom tube and having part of the Earth's molten core come through and destroy the battery lantern.
Yes.
It was so brutal.
And vaporize John Stewart.
Yeah, John Stewart. There was a lot of neck snapping in this one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kilowog got his neck snapped. Constantine got his neck snapped at one point.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Batman had a contingency plan.
He did, and that was Constantine.
Yes,
which
and Satana.
Yeah, and that whole thing was really sad. I will say, like, because they had a now. I didn't see the Constantine DC animated movie.
No, that was pretty good.
I keep seeing it. I haven't picked it up yet, but
yeah, you see Satana start to fuck some shit up.
Well, no, are we talking about? Are you talking about the original Justice League Dark?
Oh, okay. I think I'm
because I've seen then. Justice League Dark where it was like
I was talking about
It was like Zatanna, Constantine, who's that dead man guy? I think his name was just Dead Man.
I think so. He's got the double D on his shirt, so I constantly think Daredevil, and I know that's not right.
And then they team up with Batman.
Mm-hmm. And he can't possess him that long, even though that's his only power.
Yeah. But I haven't seen the Constantine movie that was in between it, because there was one. It was like City of Evil or something. I'm just thinking of Ben Sevenfold. One of the two. I know there's a Constantine movie that I haven't seen, which I'm assuming is where this romance between Zatanna and Constantine started. But then
it was always there.
Yeah, I guess it was. But and then she gets ripped apart.
Yep.
But then we find out it was part of Batman's plan. Because she told John, she used the spell on John to run away from the fight and all this craziness. But
he even said so before. He's like, I don't know why now. I've always stood tall in the face of danger and most certain doom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So as this is going, so they're fighting. I put down, thank God Cyborg was controlling all of the heroes. Because once they got, Cyborg was like connected to the like mainframe of the planet. Then once they got him out of Darkseid's control, then all of the heroes that were, like, cyborgs were now out of, like, Darkseid's control.
Mm-hmm.
And then that Constantine can do techno magic.
Yes.
Which, when he said that, it was like, ugh, techno magic.
He said it sarcastically, though, so I'm going to allow it.
Yeah. So this is the end. This is where shit starts ramping up, all right? So I'm just going to start reading what I wrote. You go ahead and stop me and comment on all the cool shit that happens in between, okay?
Oh, I will.
All right. So after the techno magic, Batman and Darkseid show up. Batman and Damian start duking it out.
I've always wanted to see that.
Yeah, great. Really cool fight. Batman has a flashback about his dead parents before he is about to murder his son.
Can't have a Batman movie without dead parents.
Exactly. So then he snaps out of Darkseid's control.
Because dead parents.
Yeah, because dead parents. Darkseid then shoots his Omega Beam at Batman, and Damian jumps in the way and just crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Super crispy. That part was sad. That part was really sad.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that worked out, though. Maybe the Lazarus Pit or something kept him alive? Because normally you get hit with an Omega Beam and you're pretty... Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're pretty disintegrated.
Yeah, he was like, very resilient with that. But yeah, so while that's happening, Raven's losing control of the crystal on her head. So Trigon starts to be released. Constantine gets the gem off and then tries to strike a deal with Trigon, who then possesses Superman. And you get this, like, weird Illidan from World of Warcraft Superman hybrid with, like, Jesus Christ, like, huge bat wings and giant horns. And it was just...
It was pretty amazing.
It was bad. And, yeah, and then him and Darkseid just start beating the shit out of each other. And I was like, how can this get any more balls out? And well, what happened was after...
After he kind of like separates them and they fight a little bit more, they just kind of... Well, Superman comes back.
Yes, because Lois dies.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody is... They're getting overwhelmed on Earth.
Yes. Yeah,
and so everyone else is dying. King Shark being like one of the best characters in this movie, in this show.
King Shark is Shark.
He kept saying that over and over again. I'm like, what is he saying? They all had like
kryptonite teeth.
Yeah, he had like a kryptonite grill that he was like tearing through the Doom.
Oh, it was spray on.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, they showed that earlier.
Oh, okay, I missed that part.
It was a spray on kryptonite grill for killing Doom paradooms.
That's funny as fuck. But yeah, everyone in Luther's party dies. The whole building blows up. But Superman's grief drives Trigon out and turns him back into regular Superman. So then they start beating the fuck out of each other. At this point, Constantine is dead because he had his neck snapped.
Yeah.
He wakes up in heaven with Santana. She explains all this stuff that happens. Brings him back to life. Batman's
contingency plan.
Yeah. Brings him back to life. And while that's happening, Raven like somehow resurrected Damian. But, like, she turned into the White Raven.
Yep. She cried at him.
She cried at him. And, like Pokemon tears, he was brought back to life.
Mm-hmm.
Pika. So then the plan of action is to re-release Trigon. Just Trigon. He's there.
And, yep.
And, like, thanks his daughter for this, for being able to, like, fight Darkseid because of how like upset he was about being recaptured by him. And the movie ends with Cyborg opening up a boom tube like the size of Apocalypse, consuming the whole planet while Trigon and Darkseid are beating the shit out of each other. Mm. Trigon's laughing the whole time, like, holy shit, man.
Yeah,
it was exhausting.
He sends it to nowhere.
But they make the revelation that all of this stuff with Darkseid and all that is happened because of the Flashpoint paradox. So in that movie, when Flash saves his mom and comes back, there's that big war between Atlantis and Amazon. The Amazons, bunch of heroes die.
Not as many as this movie, yeah, though.
So then when he went back and tried to fix it again, there were still some weird things that kind of weren't set back into place. One of this being Darkseid knowing about planet Earth, which is why he came to invade, and all of this kind of sprung. So the end of the movie is basically Batman's like, yeah, 30% of the Earth's core is gone. Its axis is all fucked up. And it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. So then Constantine just convinces Barry, be like, you got to do another Flashpoint. And I'm not going to lie. I love how they ended this.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it made this whole New 52 run so self-contained,
yeah,
to where it could be its own thing. And then they can move on to like something else. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so good.
I'm okay with this. Yeah. Ending timeline by like, all right, well, look, we're going to do it again.
I didn't look at the back of the box to see what they have coming up next. Usually they have like a special edition sneak preview for the next DC animated movie, but which could probably spoil what they're going to be doing next.
Killer Croc gets Mixelpuss's powers.
Oh, no. It's just Larfleas. I would like to see them do...
a Larfleas movie?
No. I mean, he'd be cool being in there, but a Brightest Day storyline? Or Blackest Night storyline?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Especially, and you can even incorporate the amount of the heroes that have died and came back and all that stuff with, like, just over all of this. You could incorporate that and end up getting Black Lantern rings, but...
But not Batman, because Batman never dies.
Nope.
Because he's Batman.
He didn't even die in that. It wasn't him.
Nope.
It wasn't him in the grave. Mm-hmm. Everyone, he tricked everyone because he's Batman.
Yep.
The DC movies need to, like, follow the example of what the animated movies are doing.
Yeah, but that's hard to do a animated finale, as we've seen.
Well, I mean...
CGI.
This would be great on CGI. Mm-hmm. That's what I understand.
As long as we're not CGI mouths on.
Oh. No, obviously, but... it's just... It's so weird how that didn't take off, because there's so many good storylines that they could have worked themselves into. Mm-hmm.
That they could do that.
Instead of just spoiling it all, like, right at the beginning. Because they can even do this. If they do a Flashpoint movie, they should revert it back to, like, how New 52 is, but then kind of, like, how this New 52 is, but then kind of tweak it. Just have Darkseid as, the main villain, but he's, like, always going to be there, because they never actually beat him.
Yeah,
you can introduce all the, like, you still have Shazam and Aquaman and all the other characters are still in it. You can use the Flashpoint to replace Ben Affleck, I guess, because he's not doing Batman anymore. That's, you're like,
oh, that's,
like,
sad.
That's weird. Bruce, you look like a tweener vampire. What's going on? You're like, I've always looked like this.
What do you mean?
I've never looked like that guy from Mallrats, or that guy from Boston, or that guy from Geely,
or Daredevil.
Do you have any other comments about this?
No. A lot of murdering.
What was your favorite murder?
Probably one where Harley was just bashing in all the heads. That was pretty fun.
I liked Shazam's death.
Oh, yeah. He's called the lightning in eventually.
Yeah. It's like just the self-sacrifice. He's like, well, I'm getting stabbed as I'm falling. I might as well.
Yep.
Might as well take these guys out.
Shazam!
I loved the Swamp Thing part.
Oh, yeah. The green will live!
And that's why, like, he blew himself up, but then, like, technically, as long as there's green on Earth, Swamp Thing is alive, because he's just, like, an entity of the Earth.
Yeah.
So I'm confused as to why he never came back. But then at the same time, they were, or at least for the fight on Earth with, like, Lois and all of them.
Yeah, maybe we just didn't see it. Plus, also, after the tower was destroyed, they diverted all the Paradooms. So maybe he was like, all right, well, my work's done.
Yeah.
They can handle it from here.
That's very true.
I've broken my sacred vow to never interfere.
That was, that's the Watcher.
Well, maybe the Swamp Thing does it too. I don't know.
No, I think the Swamp
Thing... It seems like he would be valuable in a lot of these situations.
He's not really a hero, though. He doesn't necessarily care about anybody except the Green.
But everything always wants to destroy the world, so it seems like he should jump in more often.
Yeah, you'd think that. Especially the way that he was acting with this. I mean, like, growing out of some of these Paradoom guys, like, coming out of that. Oh, the scene with Superman when he, like, gouged his eyes out and then just took his, and, like, still hand in position, just started slamming him back and forth on the ground.
Yeah, that was pretty good. You could tell Supes wasn't holding back.
No, that was definitely...
Now there's no kryptonite in his
body. That was like, I just lost my wife, who I found out is actually a kickboxer, too.
Yeah. She's apparently, like, above Harley Quinn levels of fighting an acrobat.
All right. So, yeah, that's our takes and thoughts on the Dark Side Apocalypse lore.
Dirt Seed Apocalypse.
That was my French chef from Muppets impression. The Bork guy.
I thought he was Swedish.
Is he Swedish? Yeah, he's definitely Swedish. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. He just borks. Just
chef.
And sporks and forks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So next week we will have our results for Double or Nothing. We'll see who's the champion still.
Hopefully me.
We'll finish out our final qualifier rounds for the Tournament of Heroes.
And some villains too.
And then, yeah, we'll just go from there. We'll see how this all works.
Mm-hmm.
There's
if we're not flooded.
If we're not flooded, yeah, we might be underwater still. Yes. So who knows?
60 liters.
So make sure you check out our. I always forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Our Instagram and Twitter at House of Pod One. Talk to us, please. God, oh my, we're so lonely.
Lonely. That's all I got.
Yep. But yeah. For House of Pod, I'm Mike.
I'm Bash.
All hail Darkseid.